had an opportunity to reflect this past week on how much suffering I can cause for myself when I struggle with that very deep need to be right. And this week has been one of those situations where I have really taken not only a deeper look at this just on the level of my own individual life experience, but also thinking a little more universally about how this deep human need that we sometimes struggle with, and I'm saying that with, you know, complete compassion towards myself and towards others. I have to, you know, I not have to, but I want to remember that when I become very incredulous and surprised when I am meeting or encountering someone who is so attached to the need to be right that it's almost like they will, you know, like they will fight to the death almost. And I'm saying that metaphorically. But what I'm realizing is that I can, you know, I can, anything that that bothers me, I had a teacher remind me of that this week, and I'm so grateful for that. Anything that I see in someone else that bothers me, either on a surface level or especially at a deeper level, what I'm really seeing is I'm seeing the same thing in myself. And this is one of those, you know, this is one of those topics that definitely hits very close to home. I had, this week, I guess what I would say is I had the opportunity to revisit this, you know, in terms of more of the specifics to talk about this, without getting into a lot of the detail, because the detail really doesn't matter, as I always say, because I really believe that. That in this case, just the kind of the high level overview is that I have been working on a really complex, large project with a number of different people on a team. And it has come down to the time when we have had to execute this project. The planning has ended, and we are in the middle of executing this and finishing this project. And I had very, very strong feelings about how long that I felt like this would take. And essentially, the other people that I work with on this disagreed with me and basically felt like I was, you know, more, and I do have a tendency sometimes to think in worst case scenario. You know, I do think sometimes with the lens of a worst, you know, looking at something in terms of a worst case scenario. But in this case, I really felt this way for some reason. I can't really say why, but it isn't even really important. I don't really even have to know why I felt like this is how long it was going to take. But what has essentially happened is that what I had said previously is bearing itself out. The project, you know, will take probably as long, maybe even longer than I had originally thought. And there were a lot of reasons for that, which, you know, I don't really feel the need to go into. But what I really am focusing on, what this is really about today, is what I was doing, what I was thinking, how I was talking to myself in the moment where it has become apparent that what I thought was right in terms of how long it would take is bearing itself out, and that is now coming to pass. And I found myself in that moment for a few, it was just for a very brief time, where I caught myself in the act of beginning to feel really vindicated, really self-righteous. And this doesn't sound good. I'm saying this with a smile on my face, and I'm saying this laughing only because of the fact that I've had an opportunity to let go of the need to be right. I've been able to take that, I've been able to let go of that and handle that a little more lightly. And it does seem silly to me now that I was so, you know, taken with those feelings. I was so invested in wanting to basically look at all of these people that I'm working with and say, see, I told you so. And I'm saying this, even though I'm speaking like it sounds like I'm yelling, I have a smile on my face because that's exactly what I wanted to do. I literally wanted to go around and tell each one of these people personally, you know, that I was right and they were wrong. And I know, again, it's good that I feel like it's good that I am looking at this in a humorous way, because in the moment I wasn't. I was taking it really, really seriously. I was completely taken aback that I was involved in something where the customer's expectations are not, you know, in this case, are not going to be met. And there are some, you know, there are some complicated reasons for this. And there again, this is, you know, I can get really caught up in whose fault it is, why this happened the way that it did. But I spoke, you know, the one thing I have to keep, that I want to keep returning to, is that in the early stages of this, I spoke my mind, I spoke my heart. I was not in complete control of this. This was not all my responsibility. And ultimately, I could not control the execution of this. All I could do was maintain my relationship with the customer and do my part and advocate for them and try to make a case for the fact that this was, you know, something that would take considerably longer to finish. But what I'm really getting out of this is that in that moment where I began to really heavily invest in the identity of the person who was right and everybody else was wrong, that I really got to a place where I was able to rediscover something that for me has been a very important truism of this. And this is like a lot of things, that anything that I can indulge in, I can overindulge in. And I believe from my experiences, what I've learned and what I've lived, and I think that this is in terms of mindfulness practice and living a mindful life and mindfully coping with life, I feel like is worth repeating. And that is that, you know, yes, it is about being aware of the fact that I am beginning to overinvest in the need to be right and to prove it to everyone and to vocalize it and to drive the point home. And I'm not saying in some cases that it's wrong to do that or that someone is bad for doing that. There are some times, I think, where people need to clear the air and say what's on their mind and on their heart, so to speak. But it is when you get to when I found myself at a point that I was so angry and so irritated that I found myself, I just kept indulging in it. I kept just, it's almost like in a way I was trying, it was like an orange or a piece of fruit that I was trying to squeeze juice out of, that at some point I couldn't get any more juice out of it. I could not yield anything else from this. There was only so much self-satisfaction that I could experience through thinking that I was right and feeling like, yep, I was right. Everybody else was wrong. And because of this, what I found is it's a bottomless pit. I mean, it literally is. I mean, this is something that I can, you know, if I have what I refer to euphemistically as a hole somewhere, in, you know, that I'm trying to fill, there's some deep inner need that I have. And I've also looked at that in terms of this whole thing about getting caught up with needing to be right. There's a difference in, you know, someone simply being right or wrong and then taking it to a way further extreme of it becomes a hole that I need to fill. I really need to let people know that I'm right and they're wrong. I really have this big hole that I need to fill. And what I find is that if I'm utilizing this to fill some emotional hole or some hole in my heart, euphemistically speaking, it's never going to be enough. I don't care how much I indulge in this. And I really lived this and experienced this week. I mean, it was a point at which I really, before I caught myself, and there again, that's, you know, ultimately the point of mindfulness practice is to practice paying attention to our minds so that we catch ourselves when we get carried away like this, because I was clearly causing myself unnecessary suffering. And I'm sure that I was also causing the people that are around me suffering, because I was, you know, in a nice way, even though, but I was doing it in a nice way, but it's like I couldn't stop doing it. It's like I tried to say it in different ways. It somehow I needed somehow to be acknowledged that I was right and that they were wrong. And this is, to me, I don't want to judge myself harshly or beat myself up emotionally or say that I was wrong for doing it. But what I find is that if the goal for me is to live in a more peaceful way, if I want to live with more calm in my life, if I want to live more in harmony with other people, if I really want my life to be an experience that is something that is full of peace and meaningfulness, where I can be the best person that I can be. And it seems to me like this is why I have continued this practice, and continued on what I refer to as my spiritual journey. And I know everyone's journey is different and everyone approaches it in a different way. But it's almost as if I'm going to do that, then my need to indulge in this and just keep trying to fill some hole, you know, some emotional hole in my life, it's a bottomless pit. I'm never going to be able to get that satisfaction. It's almost as if I am so hooked on the need to be right and prove to everyone that I'm right, and then expect everyone to acknowledge that I'm right. The saddest part about this is that it won't even change the reality of the situation. At this point, it's a notion in my head, the need to be right. It's just some sort of position that I'm taking that is really nothing more than thoughts in my head. And I found it to be incredibly healing for me to remember this when I am really caught up in something like this, when I'm really trying to get something out of some sort of mind state, some sort of feeling and the thoughts behind it, to get some sort of satisfaction out of it. And this could be, you know, this could even be a situation, you know, not only needing to be right, but I, you know, if I need to be acknowledged, if I need for people, if I have a need for adulation or for people to, you know, make me feel good about who I am and what I'm doing, and acknowledge that and validate that in some way. Some of these things I find are interrelated, because it's me trying to get something external that makes me feel more whole. And what I find is the more and more that I indulge in these things, the more that my mind, I know my mind is really caught up in thoughts about what it is that I'm not getting, that I need more of. And I'm really identifying as that person who, it's really almost like, in a way, what's called a scarcity mentality. I'm not getting enough of what I need, and I'm not going to feel better or feel okay about myself until I get what it is that I think I have coming to me. And it really did sicken me this week to see myself. And the beautiful part about it was I really didn't even necessarily indulge in this for a long period of time. I have had periods in my life where I've been so attached to needing to be right or needing to be validated, or needing to be acknowledged, that it becomes a way of life. I can live every minute of every day, every hour of every day this way. I can live weeks and months this way. And at some point, the energy goes away from it. And what amazes me is that this feeling, the feelings and the emotions that drive this, it's almost like, in a way, it's a feedback loop. In other words, if I'm operating emotionally that I somehow am lacking something, there's a scarcity mentality, it's going to feed into thoughts about what I'm not getting, and then I will begin to live every moment of my life in terms, you know, kind of living within the context or within the frame of someone who is trying to go out, and it's, at some point it even becomes subconscious. It becomes who I am, the way I live. It affects the choices that I make. And I have lived, you know, long periods of time of my life this way, only to wake up at some point and realize that it's just become a way of life. And that time that I have spent like this, I'm usually not here in the moment where everything is happening. I really can't cope in the most mindful way that I possibly can, because of the fact that I'm somehow wrapped up in getting something that I need. And until I get it, or until I find it, until that hole is filled, then I'm not really able to really be present in the moment, because I'm off in my head somewhere else trying to find whatever it is that I need in order to make me feel whole. And I miss out on everything. And it's astounding to me. It's astounding and it's astonishing to me that human beings have the capacity to live this way for long periods of time. And I can certainly own up to the fact that it has affected, you know, relationships that I've had in the past. And these can be all kinds of relationships, with acquaintances, with friends, with coworkers, you know, whatever the case may be, family, whatever it is. You know, I can find that I can be very emotionally constricted, not very open to people, and not very genuine or in the moment with people when I am busy, you know, when I have this agenda of somehow needing to get something that I have to have in order to feel whole. And what was really beautiful about this earlier this week, and it hasn't been just but a couple of days ago that this really reached its apex in terms of me really getting carried away. There was almost like this still small voice. It was kind of like I was these thoughts were just churning in my head. I mean, I had this conversation with the people I was working with, or I am working with on this. We had the conversation about, you know, what are we going to do? Everyone is now acknowledging the fact that this is going to take longer. And I, you know, made a statement that, you know, hey, I just wanted to, you know, remind you that, you know, I expressed these concerns early on. And what I realize now in that moment is that there's nothing wrong with me saying that. If that is the truth, if that's really how I felt, if I really felt like I wanted to say that out loud, but in my, at least for me, I can't say this for anyone else, in my mind, you know, if I say it once, that's one thing, but if I say it 15 times, if I'm saying it 3 months from now, it's a whole different thing, and it's a whole different situation. If I am literally 3 months from now, once this thing is wrapped up and finished, and I am still ruminating over this and continuing to be, you know, wrapped up in this story about how this goes or how this went, then I really have not let this go. And, you know, it's, it, and what I found is that I became aware of it fairly quickly. I mean, relatively speaking, it's been building all week. I knew in my heart that this is where we were going to end up. I knew that this conversation was coming. I had, you know, said it a few times a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and was met with indifference, and I was basically met with just people not really hearing me. And when I had, you know, all of a sudden it became apparent, you know, just a couple of days ago, that I really had my opportunity to drive this point home and really say it. And just really, you know, obviously there's an opportunity to rub people's nose in this, so to speak. And I didn't do that, thankfully. But I came very, very close, I will admit. There was a moment in which I was very upset about the fact that I am the main contact that will basically communicate this to our customer. And nobody looks forward to giving people bad news, especially when we have the responsibility of, you know, the deadline was there. We were aware of the deadline, and I can only control so much of this. But that's where I am, and that's where I find myself. And the idea here is that I can get really wrapped up in all of my thoughts about being fearful about what the ramifications of this are going to be. Is this going to jeopardize the relationship? Are they going to be angry? Is this going to prevent future opportunities? I don't have the answers to any of those things. There's no way I can know. And at the same time, I can also be very wrapped up in fear about that and imagining all of these worst case scenarios. But again, you know, where mindfulness practice comes in, I know that this is just something that if I am in the habit of being fearful about things that I'm not sure about how they're going to go, if I have the neural or the mental habit of living in fear and imagining the worst, and my self-talk becomes very negative to reinforce that, then that's the way I'm going to live my life. And sadly, I wasted many years of my life living this way, imagining the worst, being prepared for the worst, thinking the worst, thinking that people were going to react and respond in the worst way possible and in the most negative way possible, and playing that story in my head over and over and over again, and being, you know, contracted and constricted emotionally and internally because I just knew somehow this is the way things were going to go. And it's just, it's not really a way to set myself up to have any joy or meaning or any peace in this life. And it certainly isn't going to set me up to do the best work I can do and for me to be the best person that I can be. I can let my mind run the show. I can believe everything that I'm thinking about what I'm feeling. And I know what the results will be. I lived that way for many, many years. And my life basically paid, you know, my life was ultimately the result of that was that my life looked and felt a certain way because of that. And I know that mindfulness practice avails us the opportunity to begin to be aware of the fact it's not about, It's not about trying not to think these certain things. It's not about trying to quote unquote improve my mind or change my mind. I can't really rewire my mind in any particular way. However, I find that in a subtle way, practicing mindfulness over a period of time does set me up for the ability to be able to just be aware when I'm starting to go down that path again, when I'm starting to set myself up for negative self-talk and to begin to get lost somewhere else in some sort of story or narrative that I think is going to happen, or I have a certain take on something that has happened, and so I replay it in my head with some sort of bias that isn't, you know, that really doesn't reflect the truth of the situation. Either way, whether I'm rehashing the past or I'm envisioning a negative future, I'm not here. And anytime I am overindulging in things in order to feel whole or to feel vindicated or to feel right or, you know, somehow to get the acknowledgement and the validation that I think that I deserve. And the operative word there is that I think that I deserve. If I can get to a place where it doesn't really matter what I think that I deserve, I can get to a place where, you know, I don't need to have thoughts about that any longer. I can just basically live my life and do my best and be the best that I can be and pay attention to my mind before it goes out of control and before I find myself causing unnecessary suffering for myself or others through, you know, reacting internally to other people's behavior. When I don't get what I want from other people, I react in a certain way. And the list is too long for me to go on here. But essentially, if I'm not getting what I want from people, the most important thing about it is if I'm not paying attention to my mind, I'm probably not even aware that I'm operating under that scarcity mentality, that I'm somehow believing that I'm the person that isn't getting what I'm due from other people. And I may not be as kind as I could be to them. I may not be as open. I may not be as cooperative. I may not be as willing to be open and vulnerable with people if I have some sort of narrative, you know, running in my head subconsciously about some sort of grievance that I'm carrying about them and for something that happened in the past or something that I think they're going to do to me in the future, or maybe something I, you know, need from them that I'm not going to get in the future. Either way, it is it's not healthy or beneficial for me, and it certainly isn't healthy or beneficial from the other person who I'm making these decisions in my head and living according to them. And I can really say this week that I explored this fully. I mean, I literally played this out in my mind. I mean, I spent some time really doing some deep reflecting about how overindulging in the need to be right, how, you know, how far I can take this. And the further I take this, the more that I get carried away with it, the more empty that I feel, and the more negative that I feel, and the more disconnected from other people I begin to feel, and the less hopeful that I feel about the future. And to me, it isn't worth it. I mean, I know, yes, as a human being, you know, being right and being vindicated sometimes, you know, both fortunately and unfortunately can feel good. But like too much of anything else, like eating too much sugar or anything else, there comes a tipping point where it begins to, too much is just too much. And then it begins to be the opposite effect. And luckily, I was able to become aware of this through practicing being aware of it, so that I could realize, oh, there I go again. You know, now I know what I'm doing. And once I know what I'm doing, I know what the games that I'm playing with other people and with myself, you know, using my mind a certain way or thinking certain things, then I can just let go of that. And then at some point, hopefully, once I have let go of it, I can begin to see the silliness and the futility of holding on to these things so long. And for that, I'm incredibly grateful. It's not going to change what's happening right now. There will be some news that I really would rather not deliver. Unfortunately, I couldn't control all of this. I did what I could. I jumped up and down. I said what I needed to say over and over and over again to try to get people to see that we really did need to make some different assumptions. But at the end of the day, I could not make other people do anything. And I think sometimes that's the hardest thing about working with other people, and that what I refer to, I guess, or I don't know if it's that I refer to it, but it's, you know, interconnectedness, the interpersonal, interdependent nature of existence, that, you know, we live in societies where we cooperate and need to cooperate with other people. And unfortunately, sometimes that doesn't go well. Sometimes we don't get the cooperation we're looking for. Sometimes we're not heard. Sometimes we're discounted. But that's just part of the dance. And I know that there are certain things I can do in terms of being more healthy, living and having to work with other people. But I know that indulging in needing to be vindicated and needing to be right and needing people to tell me I'm right, expecting these things, I know is really not going to help endear me to other people. And it's certainly not going to help me have healthy relationships with other people at work and also in my personal life.